Good morning, XICF. This is Ben. I'm in Xiamen right now. Glad to be able to connect with you in this special way. Today, I'm going to share about crossing the Red Sea of coronavirus uncertainties. And we're dealing with all sorts of uncertainties now and throughout our lives. But the coronavirus, it gives us, we don't know what's next. We wonder, how is this going to affect our lives? How is this going to affect my school or my summer plans? Or where will I live next year? What's my job going to be? Is this going to affect my health? We even think through doomsday scenarios of, can we stay safe? What happens if we get sick? What happens if the hospitals get overwhelmed? And if we can't get food, what will happen? Things here in Xiamen seem to be getting better, but in other parts of China and other parts of the world, maybe not so much. And even beyond the coronavirus, we have uncertainties in our XICF community. Our pastor Gabe just left us recently, went back to Mexico to care for his health. We enjoyed such a wonderful service, our last service together. I'm so thankful for that. It was so special. And amazingly, that was the last time we were able to meet together as a fellowship recently. But we have all sorts of uncertainties. Maybe your finances are uncertain. Maybe the coronavirus is hurting your business. You don't have customers. Or maybe your finances or your family or your health was precarious even before COVID. Chinese New Year, but people were visiting other places, visiting family members, and your stay all of a sudden got extended, or you got to go home early, or you got stuck away from home without your clothes, without your computers, without your medicines or books, or who knows what. These things are not going according to our plan. It gives us all sorts of uncertainties. But today we're going to look at the story of the parting of the Red Sea. Even hundreds of years after that, the psalmist in Psalm 77, he looked back and Asaph, the writer of this psalm, he saw, you know, even on a sleepless night, even when I'm perplexed by these challenges that are facing me in my life right now, I can think back to Exodus 14. I can think back to Moses and how God led his children out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. So today we're going to remember. The Bible tells us time and time again to remember. We're going to look at some of these great stories of history, big and small, where God faithfully, time and time again, has seen his children through even seemingly impossible situations, and how he calls on us and enables us to have peace as we walk with him. Today we're going to focus on the amazing history of Israel crossing the Red Sea in Exodus 14, with some other neat testimonies sprinkled in as well. We're going to walk verse by verse through Exodus 14 and touch on the 10 Red Sea Rules from a book by Robert J. Morgan called The Red Sea Rules, to help us as guidelines as we think through the application for us here. So turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, in Exodus 14, chapter 14, verse 1, "Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel," well, hold on, right there in that first section, God has given them a specific location, hard to pronounce, but a specific location, and that's where he wants them to be. So the rule number one is realize that God means for you to be where you are. Sometimes he puts us in dark situations. He puts us in scary circumstances. Right there by the sea, and he knows that he is going to help us through this. And often we know that light shines the brightest in the darkness. So for my family, as we were trying to figure out what to do, we had been away for Chinese New Year. We were trying to figure out whether to come back to China or to stay outside the country, try to be in a safer spot. One of the verses that spoke to me right in those days as I was trying to figure it out, discern the will, the Lord's will for us, was from Isaiah 42, verse 6 through 8. He says, I will watch over you. I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the nations, in order to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those sitting in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, this is my name, and I will not give my glory to another. So he's helping us to be a light to the nations, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those from the darkness. And he's using us in a dark place to be the light. I'm thankful today, this afternoon, we're meeting up with a Chinese couple, and they've been really scared, and they are encouraged to hear the truth and the peace that the Psalms and our Father can give them, and how the community here has been able to come around them and help them and point, and how, what an opportunity this is to help people see God's goodness. Continuing on in verse 3, for Pharaoh will say to the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, says the Lord, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So God is concerned about his glory. Just then in Isaiah, we saw how God said he's in this for his glory. So our rule number two, here as we see God saying, I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and all the Egyptians will know that I'm the Lord. And not only the Egyptians, we know as well in those times, the other nations that the Israelites went to, they knew how powerful Israel's God was as well. So God's bringing his fame and his glory to all the earth. But rule number two is, be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. A lot of times we live in a me-centered world, and we want things to revolve around us. We want things to benefit us and to serve us, and the circumstances to be good for us. But no, this is a God-centered world that we live in, and God is in it for his purposes, and he blesses us through us. He uses us. He allows us to participate. But we're not in charge here. And we get to, the best way for us to enjoy it is when we get to fall in line with him, and we get to enjoy his goodness, and we get to be thankful and participate in his eternal purposes, which really brings purpose and meaning to our lives. But how, one example, when I first moved to Xiamen back in 2004, and I was working on starting up a factory, and we wanted to use it for God's purposes. We wanted to use it for his glory, and to bless our employees, and to bless our suppliers, and to hire some handicapped and Down syndrome and beggars off the street, and some special employees, and just to use the business to do good work. But we came into a impossible situation, it seemed like, to us, and the fire department wanted us to have two exits, and it was just going to cost us a whole lot. It made sense, their requirement was good. We needed two exits, so if one of the exits got caught in a fire, the employees would be able to escape through the other exit. But it just seemed impossible, and how are we going to make it through this? But after some prayer and some creative thinking, we came up with a good emergency exit door solution that was quite new in this city. But it was approved by the fire department, and we made it through. But by trusting in the Lord and seeking Him and Him walking with us and helping us through that situation. The easy way to get around that would have been to lie and to pretend like we had two doors, but then to lock up the other door. And in the end, that would have been untruthful. It would have been deceitful. It would have been dangerous to our employees to be in a building with only one exit. But we didn't do that. We really pursued God's glory. And thankfully, in the end, He did give us some relief. But that it's better for us, if we think back to Jesus and the disciples when they were on the boat in the middle of the storm, it's better for us to be on that boat with Jesus in the storm. It's better to be in His presence than to escape and to be somewhere completely different, but to be away from Jesus. Safer to be on the boat with Him in the storm than to be on dry land away from Him and outside of His will for us. Moving on, in verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people, and they said, "What is this we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us?" He wanted their slaves back. They wanted their convenience back. So he changed his mind. He made his chariot ready, and he took his people with him. And he took 600 select chariots and all of his armies, and they started marching and going after the Israelites. So our rule number 3 is acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. So the Israelites, the Egyptians, they were coming after him. They had 600 chariots. They had armies and horses and everything else. And the coronavirus that we're dealing with right now, it is real. It is dangerous. But that doesn't mean that we can obsess and watch too much news about it. There's some kind of a balance. At one point, earlier on in the coronavirus, a month or so ago, I was watching a lot of news, but I realized that watching all that news, I would learn a tiny bit more, but it wasn't all that news watching. I pretty much knew most of what there was to know already about the coronavirus. It wasn't all that helpful to really obsess about it. So at some point I decided, okay, I'm going to stop watching so much. And maybe that will help me not to worry so much. Maybe I was getting a little overly concerned. But we have to acknowledge that there is an enemy, but somehow to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. In verse 10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became frightened, so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. So our rule number 4 is to pray. Pray. I have a good movie recommendation, and there's a movie that came out the last few years called The War Room. It's a neat story of a lady in America. It's a fiction story, but a lady who really prayed to the Lord, and He would bless her and be with her and accomplish things through her and use her. And it's a very inspiring story of prayer and life change. But prayer, and Brother Nate, just the last couple of weeks, he walked us through Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 4, if you would turn with me, it talks about prayer. In verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. In verse 6, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So somehow we're supposed to have thanksgiving. I think that ties back to rule number 2, where we're in this for God's glory more than for our relief. So somehow, even when it's dark and dangerous, we can be thankful. And then in verse 7 here of Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So you pray, you give thanks, and then the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so this prayer gives us a supernatural peace and contentment and joy. So Paul, he was writing this from prison. He had been through all sorts of hardships, through torture and jail and being chased out of cities and disease and snake bites and shipwrecks and all sorts of things, but he was able to have contentment and joy and peace and thanksgiving and lift up his request to the Lord. So back in Egypt, verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." So we're not supposed to fear. Do not worry, do not fear, but wait, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. So rule number 5 is to stay calm and confident and give God time to work. In verse 14, it says, "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." So sometimes we have to wait on the Lord. Sometimes it happens in his timing, not in our timing. Sometimes it's not designed around our convenience, and our circumstances aren't our favorite, but that somehow this darkness, which might last for a while, it's going to give glory to God. So we have to stay calm and confident and give him that time to work. In verse 15, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward.'" So he's answering the people, he's answering their complaints, and the Lord gives a surprising answer. He says, "Why are you crying out to me? Why are you praying to me? You know what to do next. Just keep going. It's the way that I've been leading you all along. I've led you out of Pharaoh's captivity, and we've been going along this path, and I just want you to keep going the way I've been leading you. Go keep walking across that sea." Rule number 6 is, when you're unsure, just take the next logical step by faith. So it may not make 100% sense. It may not be clear, but it takes faith. We just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. If the Lord's not giving us clear direction to turn one way or turn the other, then we just got to keep following the way he's been leading us so far. Continuing in verse 19, "The angel of God who had been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them." And so the pillar was around them at night and during the day, enveloping them, blessing them with the Lord's presence and protecting them. Rule number 7 is to envision God's enveloping presence. One of my friends, he has a way that he imagines the Lord's presence and goodness and care for him. It's almost too personal to share like this, but he goes to, in his mind, if he's stressed, if he's feeling the challenges of life weighing down on him, he will go in his mind, he'll envision himself walking out by the sea, kind of like the stormy boats, the storm where the disciples were trapped in the boat. And he imagines himself walking out to the edge of the water and walking out on a dock, on a wooden platform where the boats might come and stop. But he walks out there on the dock all by himself, and he takes his burdens in his hand, and this whole pile of burdens, and he takes it and he throws it off the edge of the dock into the ocean, into the water. And that's a way for him to imagine giving all his cares to the Lord, and how the Lord and his presence and his goodness is around him and with him and helping him and caring for him. So each one of us, we can have some way to imagine the hugs of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord and the provision of the Lord and the presence of the Lord with us and around us, even through the darkest situations, and come back to that time and time again. Continuing on in verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind, and all night he turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen went after them into the midst of the sea. And we know the story. So rule number 8 is trust God to deliver in his own unique way. Who would have imagined at the time that the sea was going to part? The Israelites had no idea. But God has miraculous ways that he can deliver. It reminds me of Jericho. When they came and the city had huge walls, and how could they ever defeat it? But somehow the Lord told them to march around a certain number of times, a certain number of days, and all of a sudden the walls came down. Or Gideon with his army of 300 men defeating great armies. Or Elijah surrounded by the armies of the Lord, able to defeat his enemies. God does amazing things in ways we can't imagine. And he answers our prayers in ways we don't expect. For some of our friends who were trapped in Wuhan recently, some American friends in particular that I'm thinking of, and they were praying, I'm sure, for the Lord to somehow deliver them. I don't think they were expecting that the U.S. government was going to send in airplanes to evacuate them. But sure enough, they did manage to get out of the city on one of those airplanes. There's modern day miracles that happen as well. The Bible has miracles, but it's not every day. It's not every Bible character had huge miracles happening every day. No, there were times of miracles. The Exodus was a time. Elijah, Elisha were times. There were some times here and there, and certainly when Jesus was on the earth and the early church, there were some major miracles that happened then, but major miracles are not a daily occurrence. But we do have special miracles and amazing things that happen to us, amazing testimonies of how the Lord does continue to work in our lives. There's a story of a lady from Detroit who recently went down to Cuba to go on a mission trip to Cuba, and she wanted to smuggle some Spanish Bibles down there to give to a Christian community down there. And so she went, but she needed some extra room in her suitcase, so she wore all of her clothing. She wore layers of clothing, and as she went through airports, the security guards found it very suspicious and always wanted to check her suitcase. So on her way to Cuba, she got checked and checked and checked and checked again. And when she arrived, sure enough, she was worried. They checked her, yes, in Cuba. They wanted to look at her suitcase. And she tried to open the zipper, but it just wouldn't open. She could only get it about 2 inches open on her zipper of the suitcase. The security guard was frustrated with her, so he took over and was trying to open it, but could not get that zipper to open. So finally he was frustrated. He just let her go on. She got back to her hotel and was thankful that the Bibles made it into the country. She was going to use some scissors or something to open up the suitcase, but sure enough, the zipper opened up easily, no problem. So her Bibles made it where she wanted them to be, but the Lord seemingly worked through this zipper jam. I remember once we were traveling in a nearby city, and my daughter, I think she was about 7 at the time, we got to this hotel and we forgot to bring our passports. You need passports to stay at these hotels. But we had left them back home, probably on the shelf where I always keep my passports to keep them safe in a particular spot. But my daughter, she wanted to pray and say, Lord, we need our passports. Would you please give us our passports? Oh, sure. She had childlike faith. I certainly didn't, but we did say the prayer. Maybe an hour or two later, I reached into my jacket pocket and there was my passport. Somehow the time before I had forgotten to put it back on the shelf and there it was right with us. Well, by then our friends had already helped us find a hotel where we didn't need passports and they would just let us in off the record. So, but anyways, the Lord did miraculously answer my daughter's prayer, and he can do things that we don't expect. Our lives are not easy. We can't solve everything alone that we want to. We mess things up too often. We are too dependent. We are dependent on God. We think we've got things under control. Our government may think that allocating a few billion dollars and putting together some committees with people from Harvard and other experts on it will solve the coronavirus problems. That may or may not be so true. This tiny COVID virus is so small, yet it's powerful, and it cripples nations and it can cripple economies. In our individual lives, we look for financial security. We try to make our lives as successful, as comfortable, as peaceful, as joyful as possible. But when circumstances change, that can all vanish very quickly. We're trying to build our own version of peace. It's all about me. What can I do to make my life better? It's selfish. But when we get selfish, this leads to quarreling, to fighting, start getting into disagreements with others who are trying to make their lives peaceful and successful and comfortable. And this is when we get evil starts coming into the picture, and wars and drugs. Drugs are just the pursuit of happiness and joy, right? We get divorce after selfish arguments and selfish sexual pursuits and other things. We get broken families. We get depression. All of this comes from our simple pursuit of happiness and joy on our own plans. But our own plans don't work. We can't solve everything ourselves. All this mess that we make. And Jesus says, when you're overburdened, come to me. When everything's going to mess, come to me. Cast your cares on me. He is our Prince of Peace. He's the one who can solve it. The Red Sea is a foreshadow of the cross. That God can take this mess, he can take this impossible situation that we've made, and he can deliver it in an unexpected way, in a unique way. Somehow, this man being nailed to a piece of wood and hung up by his hands to die 2,000 years ago, somehow that can take care of our punishment. It can give us eternal life. It can give us everlasting peace. But somehow, he delivers us in his own way through these unique, these impossible situations into his perfect peace and goodness. So the Israelites made it out of Egypt. In verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. So rule number 9 is to view your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. That yes, he's going to carry you through this crisis, but this is just a step on your path, and he's going to build you up through this and use you in more powerful ways in the future. It's a faith builder for your future. And finishing up with rule number 10, let's turn right after this, is in the beginning of Exodus 15. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him. And they went on and on singing this praise to the Lord. So rule number 10, don't forget to praise him. In Philippians 4, it was rejoice always. I love it in Nehemiah chapter 8. The Israelites, that's when they were reading the law to the people and remembering the laws that the Lord had given them back at this time of Exodus. And then they felt so sad because they were up against such a great challenge. But in Nehemiah 8, he said, no. Praise before you overcome the challenge. You can praise the Lord even in the midst of your challenges. You can take a break and drink sweet drinks and drink Cokes and Sprites and do some celebrating even before you've had the victory. And that he is going to see you through and you trust in him. And so we can celebrate. Yes, we celebrate during, and we certainly celebrate after we have the victory. And so, XICF, God is good. He leads us into these impossible situations. He brings us, he allows, he gives us freedom to mess things up, to make our own choices, to deal with wars, to deal with viruses, to deal with broken relationships, broken finances, broken health, broken families. But thankfully, he is with us. He gives us guidelines. He gives us 10 rules. But fortunately, he is with us. He gives us his presence. He gives us unique, amazing ways, amazing solutions. And he's with us all through the process. And I'm thankful for these 10 rules. I'm thankful for this story in Exodus, how we can go back and we can remember and we can trust him as we walk through uncertainties and challenges today and every day. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your miraculous delivery of your children in Egypt. And we thank you that you are blessing us now, that you will bless China, that you will help us to serve those around us, Lord, in China, wherever you put us. And we ask your mercy and glory and guidance for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.